Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we have great news today. In these passages, we see Jesus says to his disciples, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not, in no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, that's a bleak diagnosis first. That the men who devote their entire lives to trying to be a priestly kingdom and holy nation through the law of Moses, following every single law and the customs that they have come up with to be holy, as the Torah says to. And Jesus says, it's still not enough. Jesus says to his disciples, even if you were as good as the Pharisees, you still wouldn't enter the kingdom of heaven. They spend all of their energy, all of their thoughts, every single action that they've done in their entire life is to try to get to this place where they can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says to his disciples, well, even that's not enough. But the good news is we have been grafted into the body of Christ through our baptism. St. Paul says in Romans 6, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." Well, praise God for that hope. Just juxtapositioned against what Jesus was saying in the gospel, that our righteousness, even if we did everything right for our entire lives, would still not be enough. That burden is heavy to try to earn our own salvation. But the good news is that Christ did it for us on the cross, in his birth, in his life, his death, and in his resurrection. And that in our baptism, this is mystical, and it is the most profound passage of Scripture regarding baptism, Romans 6. If we look through all of the epistles, all of the writings of the New Testament, every single epistle talks about baptism. It explains this in some way or some fashion, but this is the most explicit in the fact that when we are baptized, the old man dies. That the person who we are has been raised up to life as Jesus does in his resurrection. So when we are baptized, when we go under the water, or when we're baptized with the water over our heads, the old person in ourselves, the old man, as Paul puts it, he dies. And when we are come up from the water, and we see this in the early church, it's why they did full immersion. That's why it's still a valid practice. When we come up from the water, we it's like a baby taking its breath, its first breath. There's a new life that's happened in the mystery of and sacrament of baptism, and this is not just something that's symbolic. This is true, that when we are baptized, the old man dies, and we are grafted into what Jesus did for our salvation. And we no longer have to spin our wheels and try with all our might to earn our own righteousness, because Jesus says that whatever you do, it's not enough. And it's explicit. But what Jesus did in his birth, his life, and his death and resurrection, we get to participate in our baptism. And it's a profound mystery that we were buried with him. We are raised to life with him. We have been given the promises of glory with him. We are now adopted as sons and daughters of the King. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ through our baptism. Paul says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Brothers and sisters, this means that we are no longer prisoners to our sin. We are no longer captives to the enemy. That God has freed us. God has broken our chains of addiction and sin and allowed us to become free in him. That the definition of freedom really is the ability to follow Jesus, to be the person God has called us to be, which is a child of God. Not to be constrained by something. Well, okay, if I am not allowed to do something, then I am not free. Well, that's a pretty limited scope of what freedom, the definition of freedom is, right? If we look at what Israel did, what God did for Israel in the Exodus, we see that Israel is a slave. They're slaves. They've been slaves for hundreds of years. They are totally, totally miserable. Their masters are abusing them. And God sees their sufferings in Exodus 3. He hears their cries, and he comes down to save them. And so when God frees Israel from slavery, he doesn't free them to just do whatever they want. And we can see that in the next, 10 books in the Old Testament. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Judges, Joshua, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We see that there's something, God has something planned for these people who were once slaves and are now freed. So what does it mean to be free? It means to be freed to be the children of God. And so, brothers and sisters, when we are raised in our baptism, we are raised from the dead as Christ is raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of the resurrection, and we get to participate that in our baptism. And it's a profound mystery. But in this baptism, we are freed from the bonds of slavery to sin. That death hath no more dominion over him, therefore death hath no more dominion over us. There's nothing for us to fear, because Christ has won the victory. So he continues on and says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So let us turn away from sin. Let us, and that's the harmatia, the Greek word for sin. It means to miss the mark. That's the definition of the word. And so for us, when we sin, we miss the mark, which is the loving, faithful relationship with Jesus, his profound love for us. And so let us continue to turn towards him every single step of the way, every single hour. Let us turn to him, because we are no longer defined by our past. We are no longer defined by the sins that we have committed, but we have been freed from them. And we no longer have to commit them. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes into our lives to free us from that, to guide us, to strengthen us in the midst of our temptations and afflictions. So it's through the power of Jesus, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, through the goodness of the Father, that we are able to live a holy life. So let us run faithfully. Let us run swiftly to that mark that we have missed, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.